New York State is getting closer and closer to saying we can go back inside our church building. In March, they forbade us from doing that to slow the spread, to keep as many people away from the virus, to keep them from heading towards the hospitals. They said, those who govern us said, no public gatherings in our building until we say so. And we said, when they told us that, okay, we elected you to know what's going on, to make important decisions, to form a more perfect union, to ensure domestic tranquility, to promote the general welfare. Sure, if you say we should not meet in order to slow the spread, okay, we won't. But now they're saying, and then not saying, and saying, and then not saying, and then saying that it's safe for us to head back inside. But I would like to suggest to you, based on the book of Acts, something quite the opposite today. And all we need to do to get to the point I'm trying to make is to cover the entire book of Acts in the next 15 minutes. Ready, set, go. About the time Acts begins, we have 11 guys and some ladies sitting in a room, very sad, because the best man they have ever known ever just got assassinated. And because one of their friends, with whom they've worked every day for 3 years, just committed suicide. And because Facebook and Google and Twitter have all canceled everything they've ever posted. And they don't know what to do next. They have no idea. They have no vision. They have no energy. They have nothing. 2 chapters later, at the end of Acts chapter 2, there are 3,120 of them, excited, motivated, raring to go, ready to change the world. What happened? How did that change? What's the big thing? Did you hear about the guy who went on vacation with his wife and with his very critical, very unhappy, very nasty mother-in-law? And the mother-in-law, who was always on this guy's case as not being good enough for his daughter, while they were touring in Israel, died. And the man spoke with the local undertaker there, and he learned that it would cost $10,000 to fly her body back to the United States for burial. It would only cost $500 to bury her there. And the husband immediately paid the $10,000 to fly the body back home. When the undertaker tried to argue with the man, the husband said, look, when you people bury people here, sometimes they come back alive in 3 days. I can't afford to take that chance. Here's what happened in Acts chapter 2. Peter, with God's help, stood up and boldly told Jews who had killed Jesus that he was not dead anymore per God's plan. And if they wanted, Peter said, if they would ask, Jesus would share with them his secret on how not to be dead after you die. And Acts chapter 2, verse 40 says, with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted Peter's message were immersed, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. This new group shared an idea that became the basis for their identity. This new group, these people who chose to follow Jesus, they all thought one thing, and it resulted in stuff. My family got to go to a Bills game one time, and we sat in the end zone where a very, very inebriated man tried to start the wave for 3 quarters. And nobody joined in with him for 3 quarters. But in the 4th quarter, when he tried again, a couple hundred people in our section waved with him. And when the section to the right didn't wave, we booed them until a couple hundred people in that section waved with us. But then the next section wouldn't, so we booed them until the 3rd section had about 100 people stand up, and then we all cheered, especially the shirtless drunk guy who started it all. And then he went 3, 2, 1, and our section waved, and the section to our right waved, and the 3rd section waved. And then it went around the stadium, which I thought was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. I don't get out much. And it went around the stadium again, and 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 again. 11 times, 80,000 people shared one idea that resulted in a very cool group experience. And there was something similar going on in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, when those who shared an idea about Jesus started meeting together every day in the temple courts and breaking bread in their homes and eating with glad and sincere hearts and praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And if you're the kind of person who writes in your Bible, you should underline Acts chapter 2, verse 47, because it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." those being saved by the idea that they bought into, by the group they belong to, followers of Jesus being saved. Now in Acts chapter 3-6, the new group has to figure some stuff out. They're brand new. They have to deal with people outside the group saying bad stuff about them, against them. They had to deal with people inside the group who are getting crossways with each other. Did you hear about the ship with the brown paint that collided with the ship with the red paint and 64 sailors were marooned? So yes, you've heard about them. Well, that happened to the people in the church at the beginning. They bumped into each other. They smashed into each other. They got all unhappy with each other. It's kind of good to know that even at the start, Christians had to figure out ways to forgive each other. But if you're still underlining in your Bible, Acts chapter 6, verse 7 is the next summary statement. It says, after all that, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. In chapters 6-9, the church starts to spread out. And remember, they are us. This is our story. This is the church. What happens in Acts, God wants to have happen in Victor, which is kind of scary. Because the way they spread out in these chapters, the church in Jerusalem was booming. It was helping people. It was loving Jesus. They were loving each other. They were telling people their big idea. It was all good until some people really didn't like what they were saying. I mean, really. Like Humpty Dumpty. Do you know Humpty Dumpty? He was an egg, right? But where in the poem does it say that? What if Humpty Dumpty was just a guy who got pushed off a wall and splattered down below? Because that's what happened in Jerusalem to Steve, who was part of the church, telling people how Jesus can beat death. And they push Steve off the wall and they drop boulders on him. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Stephen back together again. And on that day, everybody on our side became the hunted. And we have brothers and sisters in Muslim countries and in communist countries today, right now, who sign their own death warrants when they choose to go under the waters of baptism. And that is now and was back then a horrible thing. But God used the first persecution to scatter the church in every direction. As those following Jesus ran for their lives, they ended up in places that nobody had ever heard about Jesus before. In Acts chapter 8, Philip tells some half-Jews and half-not-Jewish people this new idea, and they start a new group in Samaria. And then he tells a guy from Ethiopia this big idea. And the good news of Jesus travels to another continent. To help get the message out, sometimes God uses horrible things for good. He doesn't make the horrible thing, but when he allows stuff that we don't like or we can't understand, sometimes he's using those moments to accomplish what he wants to accomplish most in the world. When the church seemed most in trouble, God had them right where he needed them to be. And so many people got in on their big thing that they had, because they had to go through that terribleness. In fact, because of the scattering, because of the persecution, God was able to arrange for the church's arch nemesis to hear the big idea at just the right time, from just the right, in just the right way, from just the right person. And Saul, the arch enemy of the church, chose to get into him, and he became one of us. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, they increased in numbers. Acts chapter 10 through chapter 16 is some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's where the group steps over a crack and breaks its mother's back. Because up till now, this whole new group has been totally kosher. The church started out with pure Jews, and later they added in some questionable bloodlines. But so far, everybody in on this idea has Jewish stamped somewhere on their passport. And that's great, because God clearly wants the people that he's worked with for 2,000 years to get into the group. But they were not the whole story. God's plan from the beginning was to bless all the peoples of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all supposed to get a nice invite. Because Jesus loves the people of the world. Jesus' followers forgot that, though, until Acts chapter 10, where God whispered to Peter in his sleep, and God said, Peter, you see that good man over there who's trying to obey me and gives to the needy and prays a lot and takes care of his family? And Peter said, yep. And God said, go tell him about my group. And Peter said, nope. And God said, what do you mean, nope? And Peter said, God, I can't tell him that. I can't tell him about our group. I can't tell him the big idea. He might want in, and he's not like us. And God said, right, you are. He's not like us because you're in my group and he's not. Go tell him, Peter. And Peter said, are you sure? And God said, yep. So Peter went and told Cornelius, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, a non-Jew. Peter told him the big idea, and Corny was listening and agreeing and understanding and digging it. And right before Peter got to the part where he's going to ask Cornelius if he wanted in, God poured his spirit out on everybody who was there. Heaven's sign that God wanted this thing to happen. And when that happened, Peter turned to the Jewish guys with him and said, anybody still want to argue, or can I baptize them now? And they all got in, and now there are full-fledged, not at all Jewish people in the group, oh my. And soon there's going to be a group at Antioch, a town nearby, that the group was more not Jew than it was Jew. And that scared the people who had been in the group from the beginning, because now they realized they might not be calling all the shots. I went to Panama on a missions trip once, and on the last day we were there, we drove across country and we went to Panama City. We were going to play tourista for a day. And we went to a restaurant that had waterfalls in it. That was nice. We visited the Panama Canal. They have toilet paper at the Panama Canal. That's a very nice thing. Just want you to know. We were supposed to go play in the old city ruins of Panama, where there's a big castle and walls and garrets and courtyards, and you're supposed to wander around and enjoy the ambiance of old Panama. But when we arrived, there were two policemen blocking the entrance, and there was a chopper hovering overhead, and people with walkie-talkies were coming and going through the gate. And someone made a joke from our group, said, oh, maybe they're taping Survivor. But we had about 25 people in our group standing around waiting to go in. There was a raised platform across from the entrance to the gate. So some of our group were sitting over on the platform, and I jumped up on top to see if I could see what the holdup was. At which point, this guy with albino white hair and a walkie-talkie and khakis and a Dan Marino jersey on came out, walked out of the gate, walked right over to me and looked up to me, and he said, I'm terribly sorry, sir, but this shoot is taking just a little longer than we expected. The sunlight is not good for our helicopter's cameras. If you could just give us about another half an hour, we'll be done. And then your group can enjoy the ruins. Would that be okay? And he looked at me, waiting. Somebody sitting over on the side said, you really are taping Survivor? And the guy said, yes, yes. And then he looked back up at me and he said, half an hour? And I said, that would be acceptable. And he said, oh, thank you. Thank you all very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. And he went back in the gate. And people in our group said, oh, nice one, Walker. You just made a production call for the Panama Survivor Series. I have no idea why that guy asked me as though I had any authority whatsoever in that situation. I was just standing there. But I think the Jews thought that God would always come and ask their permission before he let anybody in their group. But God's plans were way bigger than their plans. And after they talked about all that, and after they realized that God's group is for anyone who wants in, anyone, Acts chapter 16, verse 5 says, okay, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. We have 12 chapters to go and only a few minutes left. This might have been a bad idea. Acts chapter 17, verse through chapter 28 is where the group makes it finally to the most influential part of the world and sets up shop. They get to the main place. Do you know the line, all roads lead to Rome? Paul figured that would work in reverse too. He figured all roads lead from Rome, and he thought if we can get people in Rome to know the big idea, to start groups, they will pass it on to sightseers from everywhere, and we can saturate the world with our groups. So Paul headed to Rome. He took an unusual method to get there. All expenses paid, funded by the government. Paul was a criminal on trial for his life. But hey, God uses odd ways and strange people and bad things to help get the big idea out. And that's what the last 12 chapters of Acts talk about. And if you like that Tom Hanks movie where he has a friend who's a volleyball on a desert island, you would love Acts chapter 27 and 28, especially the part where the snake's hiding in the firewood and bites him. But anyways, here's how the whole book of Acts ends. It's the story. This book is the story of how our group got started. Hearing God's big idea, accepting Jesus' offer, passing it on to everybody, how they face problems from the outside and difficulties from within, how miracles sometimes happen, and how bad things went terribly wrong from their point of view sometimes, but God used it all. And Acts chapter 28, the last two verses say, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and he taught about Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhindered. The last word Luke writes as he finishes his story of our group's progress is unhindered. Sure, Paul was in jail for 2 years, but the group was growing. The group was good. And when the group wins, every person in the group wins. I have three ideas from the Book of Acts that apply to us who make up Willowbrook. Point number one, the group is the thing. Jesus died and came back alive so that this group could be. I heard a guy say once, there are three kinds of people in the world, those who can count and those who can't. In Acts, there are only two kinds of people, and it's not male and female, it's not Jews and Gentiles. In the Book of Acts, there are only two kinds of people, those who are in Jesus' group and those who are not. And there are really only two kinds of people in America today, folks. Those who are in Jesus' group and those who are not. The group is the thing. My second point today is the group is the thing. Working together, each contributing their talents, living with, loving, eating with, studying with, following Jesus is a group activity. And if you're in this group, but a quick check of your calendar would show little involvement with any group activities, the joy will be missing, the effectiveness will be lacking, the shine will fade. Our goodness in life comes from the health of the groups we're part of. The group's the thing. And point three, you can probably guess what my point three is. The group is the thing. God's plan to save the world is the group. There's no plan B. Much as I enjoyed watching Touched by an Angel or Joan of Arcadia, God does not send angels to tell people the good news. He sends this group. He sends us. We as a group will help people see Jesus or they won't see him. It's us. Individually, yes, but mostly as a healthy group. That's how people catch the big idea. So here's my big idea that I get from the Book of Acts. New York State will soon say that it is safe for all of us to go back inside our building and resume life as it was. We have done what we needed to do at great cost and great inconvenience to slow the spread. But I think that perhaps what just happened here has been used by God to speed the spread, as our church has been forced to figure out new ways to reach out to people. We have figured out almost how to reach out to people through live streaming. And we've had a chance to be part of people's lives around America that we would have never otherwise had any influence in at all. And we were not allowed to come here every Sunday, helping us realize that following Jesus isn't a once a week thing. It's an everyday, everywhere you are thing. And parents have had a chance to live with and train and love and influence their kids towards Jesus and helping others more than ever. And during this time, more conversations about what makes living in America great or could be better have been had during this pandemic shutdown than we've had in a long, long time. I think God has kind of used this virus like he used the persecution in Acts. Both are terrible, but from which he can still bring about good for his group. And what I think we've really figured out over this 15-week period, is that we who sit here in this parking lot today know something. Actually, we know someone that most of the people who drive by out there don't know. And we cannot just go back into the building and do business as usual. We have to come up with new ways of helping the big idea to get to more people, right? I went to the airport to meet someone, to welcome someone from our group back to town last December, on December 31st. And they were just flying in around midnight, and I got there, and I stayed past midnight. So I left on January 1st. As I left the parking lot, I handed the lady my ticket, and she punched it in the machine, and it said on the screen right there, please pay $4,015. And I looked at her, I said, that's a lot for 20 minutes worth of parking. And she said, ah, the computer didn't change over to the new year. And she punched a couple more buttons, and she said, there. And she entered my ticket, and it said, please pay $4,015. And I said, I'd rather not. And she said, "Arr!" And she punched a couple more buttons, and she stuck the ticket in, and she said, and the screen said, please pay $0. And I said, that's better. And she smiled and said, it's a brand new year, sir. Enjoy it. Folks, the world is different. And in a way, it's kind of a brand new year. We need to do new things. Let's all agree we're not just going to go back to where we were, because the group is the thing, and God wants to add daily to those, to the group, those who are being saved. With God's help and for his sake, Let's do good together. Unhindered.